Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Michael Cohen, if you're watching this, authorize your attorneys to release the bank statements, the source documentation from this account to the American people, to the media, so that people can get to the bottom of this. And to the extent that we haven't been accurate about something, then they can prove it up.
If anybody's been paying attention for the last 8-9 weeks, they know that there's not a lot of hyperbole.
Maybe Michael Cohen will give the true reason, and maybe it's a nefarious reason. Maybe he'll lie about what the reasoning was for these payments.
We make a lot of statements, but we back them up. The idea that Donald Trump knew none of what Michael Cohen was doing starting in January of 2017, I think is a bunch of nonsense.
You just don't believe it.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. It's another big news day in Trump world. I'm gathered here with Virginia Heffernan.
Hi, Virginia. Hi, Jacob.
So we've got a document dump from Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti has been hinting, I think, that there would be a connection between Stormy Daniels and the Russia story. I always thought the connection was just Trump's proclivity to pay blackmail, but there now seems to be some evidence that it's more than that.
Right. It's not just Stormy Daniels as some kind of precedent for the truth of the Steele dossier, the salacious allegations in the Steele dossier, but now we have the involvement of an actual Russian oligarch connected possibly to the Stormy Daniels payout. I mean, this is, if my head hadn't already blown off my shoulders, it would be blowing off my shoulders again. But I'm just sitting here before you, just a woman without a head.
It's, your head's still attached, I'm pleased to say. I'm pleased to tell listeners, since I can't see what's going on here in the studio. But yes, oligarch, Stormy Daniels, American corporations, all in one Michael Cohen bank account. These stories do seem to be coming together.
Jesse Eisinger is going to be here from ProPublica to explain it to us, and I'm looking forward to getting some clarity.
We'll be back with Jesse Eisinger in just a moment, right after this message.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Jesse Eisinger is joining us on the line. He is a reporter at ProPublica and a fellow student of L'Affaire Russe, L'Affaire Michael Cohen.
L'Affaire Porn.
Yeah, L'Affaire Stormy.
Well, no, let's not go that far.
You consumed only for research purposes.
Yes.
But Jesse, you know, we've been following you on Twitter, and I know you are trying with us to sort out this latest development, which stems from the documents that Michael Avenatti posted last night on his own website about Michael Cohen's representation or whatever it was with several clients that raise all sorts of issues and questions. And just to get started, I guess the biggest news, well, you can tell us what the biggest, what was the biggest news in Michael Avenatti's document drop last night?
Well, I think this is probably the biggest revelation to me, at least since the Donnie Jr. Trump Tower meeting. Mm. I think this is the first time that we have clear money that is connected to a Russian oligarch going to someone who is very close to Trump, Trump's longtime personal lawyer and really not really a lawyer, a business fixer and guy who was very closely affiliated to Trump Organization business deals for over a decade. So this is a bombshell. That's a cliche, but this is absolutely incredibly crucial. And then there are other layers that were also mind-boggling, including the corporate donations, and we'll get into that in a second, I suspect.
Yeah, so headline number one, there's a company called, a financial company called Columbus Nova, which is associated with a Russian oligarch named Viktor Vekselberg. They gave Michael Cohen $500,000, and it's not clear for what.
Right. So Columbus Nova, what is Columbus Nova? So Columbus Nova is an investment operation, and what they're saying is that it's owned entirely by Americans. Well, one of the guys that runs it is this Russian oligarch, Vekselberg's cousin. And
is he an American citizen?
He's an American citizen, Andrew Intrader, but he's cousin of Vekselberg. And more importantly, they've confirmed that Columbus Nova invests Vekselberg's money. They say there are some other outside investment as well, but essentially it seems that Columbus Nova is a Vekselberg investment vehicle that's not officially owned by Vekselberg or controlled legally by Vekselberg, but it's all of his money. So it's essentially, I would think, controlled by him. So that's point number one. And they funneled, as you said, $500,000 in payments to Cohen, Cohen's consulting firm. And what they say is that it's for investment advice and real estate investment advice, which initially does not sound particularly plausible, although we do know that Michael Cohen has been a quite a successful real estate investor, getting funds in other ways that were inexplicable and mysterious, but
you can tell them where to buy some taxi medallions.
Exactly.
And how to stage a car crash. He does it all, really, Michael Cohen.
And
that's what Avenatti said, is that it turns out that he's Cohen is a Renaissance man who's providing extraordinary varied services to all these different firms, because all these firms have now come out and said, we were asking Cohen for this kind of advice. No, we were asking him for that kind of advice. We were, brilliant. So, Renaissance man.
I mean, you know, you started by saying you think this the news yesterday about Vekselberg, AT&T, and other companies funneling money, or however Giuliani puts it, through Cohen's firm is comparable to the revelations last summer. I'm trying to keep track that Natalia Veselnitskaya, our favorite last Russian name, had met with Donald Trump Jr. I think you're right. But I also think that we're a year from Comey's firing. It's exactly a year of the anniversary. I think that the raid on Michael Cohen's office was another big boom in this investigation. The pay dirt that they hit with all this stuff is astonishing.
Absolutely. Now, what we don't know is how Avenatti got this material.
Yes.
It's completely mysterious and stunning, and it's not clear to me that it was a product of the raid. The raid was clearly a major escalation of the investigation under Mueller's auspices, but done by the Southern District of New York, and clearly got much, much closer to Donald Trump himself because of Cohen's longtime association with Trump, and because he was a fixer not just with Stormy Daniels' payment and the Karen McDougal, the Playboy Bunny payment, but also a lot of business deals. They were trying to build, Cohen seems like he was trying to build a tower in Moscow for Trump in 2016 with Felix Sater, our favorite Russian mobbed up
criminal informant
stabber.
Yep.
Yeah. That was obviously important, but we don't really know what the fruits of that raid are. We know that Trump has really freaked out about that. But whether this is the fruits of that, I don't think this came out of Mueller's camp at all, because Mueller's camp doesn't leak.
But is this Avenatti discovery on the Stormy Daniels case, which goes
no,
to...
No, no, no. Okay. He doesn't have discovery yet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's what's amazing. Now, what he said last night on television was that people are leaking to him, and mm-hmm. that he says, you know, he's this glory hound who you would never want to get between him and a TV camera.
Yep.
You would risk your life. But he says this is a strategy, and the strategy to set them up. Well, you wrote this, Jake, which was a great column about how this strategy is really working.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't just gotten them into a series of untenable positions and lies, but he's also seemingly gotten some information.
So, yeah. Let's talk more about essential consultants. So Michael mm-hmm. Cohen sets up this company a few weeks before the election, ostensibly, we thought, to pay off, to funnel the payment to Stormy Daniels in exchange for her silence. But there turns out to be a lot more money in the essential consultants' bank account. There's money tied to the Russian oligarchs. There's money from American corporations like AT&T who are hiring Michael Cohen, and there's the payment that's going to go to Stormy Daniels. So this is all kind of like getting commingled in this secret bank account, which Michael Cohen is using, it would seem, to avoid registering as a lobbyist, to avoid potential foreign agent registration. But what about some of this other? Well, I guess the first question about that is, where did all this money go? According to the story yesterday, there was $4.4 million that Michael Cohen collected. Did he keep that money himself? Is there suspicion that that money was intended, let's just say it, as a bribe to Donald Trump and might have been funneled somewhere else? Where'd the money go?
I mean, we just don't know. But these are valid questions. Suddenly, this Delaware LLC that seems to have been set up for the express purposes of disguising hush money payments to former lovers of Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
turns out to be something much more mysterious and potentially nefarious, as you just said. So all of a sudden now, this is a vehicle that is receiving funding from companies.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the investment vehicle of a Russian oligarch or affiliated with a Russian oligarch, but also AT&T, one of the great American corporate icons. What is AT&T sending money to Michael Cohen's LLC for? This is, and Novartis, which is a Swiss multinational giant pharmaceutical company, and a Korean corporation. So yes, I mean, you have definitely the stench of something that seems to look to approach bribery. In the old-fashioned sense, in the like Nixon creep ITT sense, this is a real throwback potentially.
AT&T commented last night. What did they say? Something about they were paying for insights. They were paying
yes.
Cohen's office
yeah.
for insights.
So,
right?
So first of all, the most important thing is that we didn't know whether Avenatti's white paper, which was dumped without any sources, was true. And AT&T confirmed it, that they had paid $200,000 to essential consultants within a matter of hours. So one, that's pretty stunning. It also validates this. You know, it makes you think that the specificity of everything else in the Avenatti white paper, that it's also credible.
Mm-hmm.
So then AT&T said that they were paying this and other firms for, quote, insights into the new administration. But AT&T spends millions of dollars with registered lobbyists every single year to understand Washington and influence peddle in a perfectly legal, although, you know, questionable way. But and that's all disclosed. And those firms are firms you have heard of, like Akin Gump, Mayer Brown. These are legitimate law firms and consulting firms and lobbying firms. And then all of a sudden, they're sending money to the president's personal lawyer and fixer into a Delaware LLC and something that's completely undisclosed for insights. I mean, I've seen Michael Cohen on TV. He's not an insightful guy.
and Jesse, look at the timing of it, too, because they're starting to pay the money just when the Justice Department is deciding whether or not to approve the merger they're pursuing with Time Warner. And now AT&T didn't win that one. The Justice Department decided to try to block the merger,
right.
And that case is in the court right now. And after the decision, 4 months later, they stopped paying Michael Cohen. So the timing is pretty suggestive of a very specific act of swamp-like behavior of trying to influence a major policy decision by the Trump administration at the Justice Department.
Again, we don't know. We don't know enough about these payments. But yes, and then net neutrality, which was actually a win for AT&T, rescinding the Obama-era policies to which would hinder the ability for AT&T and other providers to charge higher rates to bigger customers. So obviously AT&T has a huge amount of business with the administration. They really wanted to get this Time Warner merger approved, and Trump had made noises on the campaign trail that he was going to oppose it and have his Justice Department oppose it. And, well, clearly they were interested in having it not opposed by the Justice Department. They did not win this. Whether this payment, we simply just don't know whether this Michael Cohen payment had anything to do with that. But this should be a major corporate scandal. And I want the business press, and we are going to try to understand this and chase this down. We just don't know who at AT&T authorized the payment, what services were provided, what meetings were actually held with Cohen, what did they discuss, and AT&T said we paid other firms for similar kind of insights and advice. What of those other firms were? To me, I feel like I'm a pretty cynical person who's been around looking at corporate skullduggery and malfeasance for a long time. I was unaware that they were funneling money to the mysterious Delaware LLCs of personal lawyers and people connected with the president of the United States. I didn't think that they would do that.
And to the extent that it's designed to avoid required disclosure, it's potentially criminal.
I mean, I think that this is the kind of thing that could certainly result in criminal investigations. It seems like this is not the way Washington normally operates in the dirty, though legal, influence peddling business. Now, this could all be legal. And then the bigger question would be, if this is legal, is this going to raise any questions about the edifice of influence peddling? And, because the Supreme Court has essentially made bribery of political officials almost legal, unless you literally have an immediate quo to the quid and you can demonstrate it. You essentially can't make a bribery case anymore.
So it seems like the Cohen LLC was, we knew they were paying blackmail or paying hush money, but we didn't realize they were taking bribes. Now, the bribes from...
I think we should say alleged bribes. Let's just rephrase that as alleged bribes.
I like to... I've stopped saying allegedly and started saying evidently, because just as a parenthetical, I don't like it when there's like plenty of evidence and documentation and we still have to be defense side about allegedly. I'm checking... Well, anyway... I want to get to the back to Vexelberg, because I think he's an extraordinarily interesting oligarch in this. He's known as the, quote, good oligarch. He went to Harvard. As we know, nobody bad has ever been to Harvard. So that's it. There we go. He even mediated a dispute with Harvard to get the Lowell House bells returned to a monastery in Russia where they belonged. He's worked tirelessly on behalf of Chabad. He mediated a dispute about Jewish religious works. And then he has this other American figure kind of fronting for him, right, at Columbus Nova. So he looks, for all the world, like an American.
Yeah.
Even though I think he's now banned.
He was just named as one of the sanctioned individuals.
The Magnitsky, right. By the way, our Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, also collaborated with Vexelberg in this Bank of Cyprus, which is another rabbit hole we could go down. The point is, he's got his fingers in a lot of things.
And attended the inauguration.
Another question of where did the money go is the inauguration we've heard a lot about. So tell us about him and what it might mean that he was interacting with now our Delaware LLC that was doing a lot of business about a year ago.
You summed it up. But the one thing you didn't say is that he's got close ties with Putin.
Yes, right.
Which is definitional for an oligarch, right? I mean, if you're not supported by Putin, you're not an oligarch anymore.
Well, there are a few oligarchs who seem to have broken away from Putin, and the question is whether that is a valid kind of separation or whether that's all for show and they continue to have ties or take their orders from Putin. But if Putin is really the capo di tutti capi, which seems to be the case, and you cannot operate independently and continue to enjoy the fruits of your wealth, then this is the first time that I'm aware of where we have payments from a Putin-connected oligarch going directly and mysteriously to an associate of Trump. And it's hard to get closer to Donald Trump himself. If you're not giving money to the children, then Michael Cohen is basically the closest next choice.
So Michael Cohen is so crucial here because he is the link now between the Russia scandal and Stormy Daniels. And
yes.
I think people doubted that there was any connection for a while. We didn't see it. But now we have some very suggestive potential evidence connecting the two things through Delaware LLC. Another aspect of this that is very suggestive and curious right now is this Elliot Broidy story.
Yeah.
And right after the Michael Cohen raid, before it was disclosed that Broidy was one of Cohen's three clients, along with Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, there was this story that Shira Burchard.
Nope, Beshard.
Beshard, another Playboy model, former Playmate of the Month. And Broidy has paid her off $1.6 million because he's impregnated her during a year or two-year-long affair, and she's had an abortion. And everyone said, oh, that's interesting. Michael Cohen working with Keith Davidson, who was also the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, and Karen McDougal, a Playboy playmate who had an affair with Donald Trump and was paid in a slightly different way for her silence, represented a third one, but with a different man, but with the same kind of agreement, naming with the same pseudonyms, Peggy Peterson and David Dennison. And there is a theory, which a writer floated in New York Magazine, that this was in fact not what happened. It was a cover story, and the affair between Shira Burchard was not with Elliot Broidy, but with Donald Trump. What do you think of all that, Jesse?
This was Paul Campos yesterday, by the way, in New York Magazine. I want to give him credit because it was a fairly persuasive hypothesis.
Yeah, I mean, I went into that article deeply skeptical and came out far, far less skeptical. It was a very convincing
same, right? It was very, it fits the facts better than the other story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I still think that it is a hard fall to take if you're Elliot Broidy to, you know, go public with a fake affair with a Playboy playmate and having impregnated her, that you have to have some confidence in. And, you know, you have to have very little regard for your personal reputation, and you're doing a big favor for Donald Trump, who's not known for paying favors back. So it's just a big hit to take.
Well, but, he was a big official in the RNC. Is he
yeah,
still?
Yeah, he was a co-chair. He resigned after the payment came out, I believe, but he was a co-chair of the RNC Finance Committee.
This guy's already a convicted felon for paying what were effect bribes in the New York State pension fund scandal.
Right.
And presumably, if you want to play out this theory a little bit, I would think his wife and family would be less mad at him for taking the fall for a friend than they would be for actually having an affair, which is what he admitted.
Did anybody, by the way, remember or mention on Twitter, I couldn't follow it, the story of Andrew Young, who I think was also agreed to take the fall for an affair. In that case, it was John Edwards' affair. So there is a little tradition of this, affair and baby, I think.
Yeah.
There's a tradition of this in politics. Of someone either because he's a lackey, I think, like Andrew Young was, or because it's part of the terms of his alleged bribe to Trump. So we know that this is, as Paul Campos argued, we know that Elliot Broidy has a penchant for bribes. And it's possible that part of the bribe money here was his admittedly solid marriage. He maybe said he would immediately cop to this affair. That was very weird. He made a clear statement. I had this affair. It was a very emotional time for both me and this playmate. He kept referring to her as a playmate. And, leave her and me alone in this troubled time or whatever. And as you say, resigned his position at the RNC. Do you think that when he gave the big money to pay her off, and the sum is enormous compared to Stormy Daniels?
Yeah.
10x, yeah.
Right?
More.
Then do you think he also said, and, you know, as a value add here to really get me in the good graces of essential consultants, I will also publicly say that I'm the one that had the affair and will spare Melania's and Barron's feelings?
I mean, if you're playing out the theory, that would be it. And the sum doesn't make any sense for Elliot Broidy, because Elliot Broidy's no name. So why would it be that valuable to cover that up? If you're really getting conspiratorial, then you sort of think that maybe if Donald Trump has paymasters and they go by the names of Sasha and Yuri and Vlad, they told Broidy to take the fall for this. I mean, I'm not ready to commit to any of this,
yeah,
but it's all very intriguing.
I mean, have you seen pictures of Elliot Broidy? This would be a playmate with a strong stomach to have an affair with this guy, even, you know, for a significant donations.
I don't think we're allowed to say that.
We're not allowed to say that.
I felt like I was on the hook for saying Hadi Avenatti. We're not commenting on Elliot Broidy. I'm sure he's very, a very kind gentleman.
All right, well, then just do it based on
true love.
Yeah, it was true love. But just also look at the connections. I mean, Donald Trump is buddies with Hugh Hefner, who is her ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm, hangs around the Playboy mansion with him, reviewing Playmates. I mean, Trump is always in the right place in the right time for this. Elliot Broidy is like, you know, going to AIPAC fundraisers.
I mean, as we've learned from Me Too, every one of the guys has a different MO. And Broidy's MO is, it seems to be, that he's a family man who likes to bribe. Trump is a big cheater who likes to hang out with playmates. Like, maybe we can, I mean, we're not in a court of law. We can Occam's razor this thing a little bit for purposes of TrumpCast.
Why would Trump have needed to do this? Presumably, it's because Chira Burchard claimed she was pregnant and had an abortion. And that, as opposed to just the story that he had affairs with porn stars or playmates, would actually be damaging to him politically.
I don't think he can do any wrong with the evangelical base. And so, again, it's got a patina of plausibility, but his base isn't abandoning him for any of this.
So let's bounce the conversation back to Russia for one second. We have someone who's even more apt to jump to rush to judgment than I am, immediately said, this thing is the final evidence of collusion. Now, we don't even know whether collusion is the right word to use for it. But if we're connecting dots, not for the media campaign, not for the fun, salacious Stormy Daniels stuff, but we're connecting dots for the Mueller investigation. What do you think Mueller who has, by the way, sat with Vexelberg for quite a while. So Vexelberg is already in the sights of the Mueller investigation. What do you think we'd come away with on the pursuit of conspiracy to defraud the United States as a charge?
Well, so, you know, so the collusion issue is that they had to get money or something of value from the Russian government in exchange for access to the policy platform, right? And so you know, they say we will take a meeting in the Trump Tower for emails. Can you give us the emails? That would be a thing of value. Or can you give us some sense of when the timing of the emails is going to be and the they're going to drop and what they say? That would also be a thing of value.
You know, and my values are probably out of whack, and I can never identify what a thing of value is. But $500,000 looks like a thing of value to me.
Right. So now we have the first time of like an actual clear thing of value going to a Trump associate. We have to be cautious. This stuff is still developing. I mean, it is possible, theoretically possible, that Cohen saw an opportunity and hung out his shingle and made it known that he was available, and everybody came calling, and the Trump family and Trump White House doesn't know anything about it. I think that's a possibility. I wouldn't put money on that possibility, but I think it's something that we have to consider.
So what might Vexelberg have gotten for his $500,000, his thing of value? Remind me of the timeline here.
Right. So we don't really know, but the payments to Stormy Daniels happen a couple of weeks before the election.
Right.
And then the payments from Columbus Nova seem to have come. The timing is unclear, but it's a couple months after that. So we recall that Michael Flynn resigns as National Security Advisor in February 2017. And then the New York Times broke that Cohen and Felix Sater were shopping a Russia peace deal around that time.
The deal with Ukraine?
That's like right. Henry Kissinger goes to Brighton Beach.
Right. Michael Cohen trying his hand at statecraft, as Avenatti says, Renaissance man. And he actually delivers some kind of document, like by hand.
Right. He was sort of hand delivering a document on this. And yeah, as you say, he's unfortunately a candidate for Secretary of State if Tillerson and Pompeo don't work out.
he can probably do that behind bars. He can do anything.
The only man with the Nobel Peace Prize and taxi medallions.
Amazing.
Jesse, thanks for helping us sort all this out today. It is actually much clearer after speaking to you.
It really is. It really is. I thought we were just going to bat around some hypotheses, but you kept us really, you kept us in line. Me in line, anyway.
Thank you for having me, guys.
That's it for today's show.
TrumpCast is produced by Jason DeLeon.
And we're going to be mixing it up again very soon, live, end of the month, May 30th, at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
This show is going to sell out soon. And Jason had a great idea. I think our specialty cocktails are going to be grifters and grafters.
I love grifters and grafters.
What should a grifter be?
Ooh, good question. Well, the grifter's the one with finesse, right? So that has to have lots of like bitters and twists of things in it.
I think it's a gin-based cocktail.
I think it's a gin-based cocktail. And then graft seems
that's
like...
brown liquor.
That's just
brown liquor.
Brown
that's bourbon.
Get yep. it down.
And for tickets, you can go to...
Slate.com/live. That's Slate.com/live. I'm Virginia Heffernan.
And I'm Jacob Weisberg.
Thanks for listening to TrumpCast.
It's like a cross between a like John le Carré procedural and it's just a total burlesque.
Like it's got Bond girls in it, maybe. So maybe it's like it's hammy.
It's like the original Casino Royale.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.